You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it.
Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way because you are listening to the movie show.
What is up?
Hello to our listener.
This is the movie show.
On Active FM.
I'm Sash.
And my name is Ryan.
You're so posh today, Ryan.
I am announcing.
What are you announcing?
The person
that you are. Oh.
That they are listening to us.
Right.
What's up? What's happening? And I'm guessing you saw the title.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought, this is not black or white. This is a man of a lower pigmentation.
You know the title is Netflix's most expensive film for 2022, right?
And you're thinking to yourself, what could possibly cost so much?
The Gray Man.
Yes.
The Gray Man cost
like
that
a,
much.
This is like a start of like a franchise.
I saw that,
yes.
Which is actually pretty cool.
11 sequences, like 11 packed stuff possibly coming up.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't see that.
11.
11, as in 11 coming 11. Films.
Possibility that they were talking about, yes. They said that the Russo brothers said there's definitely, yes.
there's something there.
They want to do it.
That's actually very cool. I would definitely watch definitely the next one.
They're like, stuff Marvel. We're starting our own branch of.
Yeah. Awesomeness.
Yes.
Yeah. So the movie's budget, The Gray Man, it's a Netflix film, 2022 action thriller, was $200 million, which makes it the most expensive Netflix original movie of 2022. 2021's most expensive film was Red Notice, which is insane. I can't believe that was last year already. That was the one with Ryan Reynolds, Gal Gadot, and that dude that I hate. That dude, The Rock. Do you remember that movie?
I actually don't.
Yeah, that was Red Notice. That was.
Are
the
you
most
saying that we watched that last year?
Yes.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
No.
But you don't remember it.
Don't remember.
Okay.
It doesn't ring a
so
bell.
So clearly for you it was last year. Mm. And then 2019 was The Irishman. I started The Irishman. It's a long movie with Robert De Niro. I don't know if you watched The Irishman.
See, that rings a bell, but no, I never watched it.
Yeah, I didn't finish it. But that was the most expensive one of 2019. Mm. Yeah, so this is the most expensive film in Netflix or for Netflix for 2022. Can I just say, Netflix has been doing well this year. Honestly.
I hope that they pulled up their socks. That's what I think they're doing. They're pulling up their socks. They're like,
they really are, though.
We stuffed up. You know, go back. I don't know if, is that movie still on?
I don't know. Cuties. I don't know. I never searched for it on Netflix.
I'm not going to search
for it.
Not
even going to.
Don't you go and search for
it. Didn't even watch the trailer.
Just leave it there.
Just like, nah, yeah. Don't need that in my life.
Yeah.
I'm good.
We don't know.
But I know, look, Netflix hasn't been doing well. Obviously, like stock prices and all of that. This year in particular, like Netflix hasn't done well. That's exactly why they chose to release Stranger Things in two parts. It was actually so that they could keep subscriptions. So they released the first part in May, the end of May, which means that you've got your subscriptions for May. And then they released the second volume the beginning of July, which means basically you're keeping viewers for May, June and July just because of Stranger Things release. So, yeah. And then obviously a lot of Stranger Things did really well. So
Stranger Things exploded.
No, it really did
like
explode.
Like even over
yeah.
YouTube, it's just like.
So bleh. I think from that YouTube has done well from Stranger Things, but they haven't done well this year from like a subscriber base, but the films that they've been bringing out are actually pretty good. So there's The Gray Man, which I thoroughly enjoyed. Like honestly, it is really one of the best films that's come out this year, in my opinion. It really is good. They've released a couple, obviously Stranger Things. I mean, Stranger Things. it's like one of the most viewed series of all time. Stranger Things was brilliant, season 4. But they also spent a lot of money on season 4. It was their most expensive. Yeah, it was. That was they spent money on it. So I think maybe they spent all of this money because all of this would have been produced in like 2020, 2019. And now that it's being released, they're obviously getting, you know, what's the word? They're getting money back, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're doing, I think, no, I'm not saying all of their films. Also, The Man from Toronto was Netflix.
That's right.
There's a film that's just come out called Purple Heart. There's a film coming out with Jamie Foxx and I think it's Dave Franco. Called Night Shift, which is they hunt zombies, but it actually looks pretty good. Like it's a different, it's not like Twilight, or in fact they rip Twilight off in it. So that I saw the trailer for that one and I was like, oh, this looks good.
I like
good.
That sounds yeah. cool. They hunt zombies.
What?
Wow.
Not zombies. Vampire. Was it vampires or zombies? Please, I think it's vampires. It's vampires because they mock Twilight off. But it's not like the normal vamp. It's not, as in the way they've done it is unique. It's not like the normal, like, vampire. You know, there was that stage where everything was vampire romance.
Yeah.
You know, like everything.
Yeah.
That was the Twilight stage. Yeah, it's not like that.
Love you to hell and back.
Yeah, no, it's not. They,
even though you're dead.
They get money for killing vampires.
Bring me back to life.
So they kill vampires because they want money.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
So yeah, Netflix has been doing pretty well, but this is The Gray Man, and it is directed by the Russo brothers. If you don't know who the Russo brothers are, shoot yourself now. We are waiting. You can choose where you want to shoot yourself.
Can we
cut
this out?
You can choose your yeah. way. Just do it.
There was one part in this film where people's ankles were shot. I'm like, that's how you shoot a person. Yeah.
You can even choose what you shoot yourself with. I didn't specify. I didn't say
elastic
you could have
band.
A paper, an elastic band, like paper, you know. What
G.I. Joe. Lego block.
There we go. Paintball.
Just don't miss because...
Yeah, but shoot yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, the Russo brothers are the directors of Avengers.
All they have to do is watch the trailer of this film.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh.
Which means at the end of this show, we are going to answer a question. Ryan, we are going to answer this question. Was The Gray Man better than Avengers? But we will answer that at the end of the show. Because it is the Russo brothers. I mean, you have to compare their work. It's their work,
yeah.
You know? Compare.
They're actually known for, like, you know, it's like same directors
the
that
Russo
brought
brothers.
You Avengers.
Didn't they? They also did 21 Bridges, didn't they?
No, that was, I don't know who
it
that was.
I'm sure it was them. It was Chadwick Boseman. He was obviously the main character. And I'm sure it was the Russo brothers.
I don't remember.
Okay, so this is the Russo brothers. And the cast, oh, I loved the cast. I thought it actually was, you know how when you watch the interviews, they're always like, yeah, and we have a perfect ensemble cast.
Did you see who they were considering?
Yes, I did.
The other people.
I saw the other, but I think what they got it to was perfect.
I liked it.
The cast, everyone, every single person was brilliant.
Yeah.
I love everyone.
I've never seen Ryan Gosling like this.
No. In fact, he said this is the most action-packed film he's ever done.
I have not seen him like
this
before.
And he was so good.
I liked him.
He was so... You know what I loved about him was he was so emotionless, if I can word it like that. Like, he came across as... Which makes so much sense.
And there's a reason for it.
But it also makes you...
It's part of his story.
But as in order to do what you do, do you understand what I'm saying? There has to be a part of you that's, it really did feel like a part of him had died. That's what it felt like. He was just living because he was alive. Like his heart was beating, but like his emotion, like that his emotions were like dead. They were killed. Like life had literally stripped him of. So the way he brought his character across, because sometimes you have these macho men, you know, and they're doing like all of these things and they're just like happy. Like James Bond, for example. I think that's why Daniel Craig, I like Daniel Craig's James Bond, because he brought more of like a depressed version to, like, you, do you get what I'm saying? Like, the film industry created these tough guys that kill and, you know, take lives for a living and are fine.
And then,
like, there's no emotional scarring.
And then their soft spot is some woman that they fall in love with.
Like, that's the standard tough guy in a film. Whereas, okay, James Bond, Daniel Craig's James Bond, obviously he was a womanizer, all of that, but there was emotional scarring, which I think was clever. But then Ryan Gosling, it was, there wasn't even a woman. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, there was no romance because he was, that part of him was gone.
There was just a child part, like the one shot he didn't want to take because it was a child.
Yeah.
And then of course there's the girl.
Yes.
But that's about it.
And I think at that
moment. And it's not like a, you know, daughter.
No.
Father. It was just.
There was a soft spot.
Protect the girl.
Yeah. Which technically was his job. Mm. That's the reason he knew her in the first place. Mm. So the cast was amazing. I think every single actor, like literally every single actor was so good. And I think everyone kind of did a role that we've never seen them in before. Mm. Like Ryan Gosling, Chris Evans, remember last time I said he doesn't want to be the good guy? Do you know that he was originally considered for the lead role, which is Ryan Gosling?
Yeah.
And he declined it and said, make me the villain.
I heard even the bad guy was like, mm-mm. And then later on he said, okay, it's fine, I'll do it. And you know what his words were?
Mm-mm.
My grandmother changed her mind. That's literally what he said. He said, oh, my grandmother changed her mind. It's fine, I'll do the bad guy.
Oh, so he wasn't going to do it because of his grandmother.
I don't know. I don't know if it's like a sarcastic type of, you know, funny little.
And then he decided to.
My wife loves movies where there's like a funny sort of character, likable guy in the film. So, for example, like Thor.
Yeah.
So in this one, she loved Chris Evans.
She
was like,
him.
I've never seen him like this. He's hilarious. She popped out laughing so many times because of the way, like, can I be honest with you? Chris Evans as a bad guy is, I loved it. In fact, when I look at a poster of him as Captain America, I say,
no.
They should have gotten someone else.
No, but Jamie did do well as Captain America.
He did, but I like him, I prefer him as a bad guy. And even in Knives Out, he had this like sarcastic little brat.
Can I be honest? His character, okay, this version, this villain in The Gray Man, he was off the rails. He was, I don't want to meet his character in real life. I would never, I don't want to see his face. I don't want to walk past him. He's that type of, because he's so, he reminds me of a, almost like it's a Joker type of villain.
Yeah.
You know, when they're not like, they don't want to be bad. They're just completely reckless. It's who they are. So they're not trying to be bad. It's just, do you understand what I'm saying? And those type of villains where, it's just, there's no moral code. If I could put like, there's no moral, he's willing to do anything to get what he wants. And he will kill as many people. It doesn't matter how, where you are, who you are, what you are. He will kill you if you stand in his way. So I think but the way he acted in this and the way he acted in Knives Out, there was a similarity.
Yeah.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Definitely.
So, like, it was kind of like the same character, just to a different degree with a mustache. That was the only difference.
Mm. It's this, I want my way.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Mm. And I'm willing to kill. Because in Knives Out, I mean, he did kill in Knives Out. Spoiler alert.
Well, this rich kid with a nice sweater.
Do you know the mustache was his idea, though?
It's great.
He said he wants the mustache. And the Russo brothers the thing they love about Chris Evans is he puts his all into whatever character he's doing.
Yeah.
So even with like Captain America, he really did put his all into it. And also from a stunts perspective, Chris Evans really is good with stunts. I mean, we know I can't remember which film it was. I think it was Captain America. It was the Captain America film where he was holding the helicopter that he actually did. It was an actual stunt that he performed. Yeah. So, but they did say that they'd never met any actor who could do stunts like Chris Evans until Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
So Ryan Gosling also did a very, very, very good job.
Here's a crazy thought, right? Think The Gray Man, right? Bad guy, Chris Evans. Now think of the first Captain America. Can you see him?
Yeah, no,
isn't it weird now?
It's very weird.
You know, this humble guy and cap, you know.
Before he was buff.
Right? Captain Rogers, right?
Yes.
Crazy. Yeah, no, it's crazy, insane. Crazy.
The other thing I loved about this film is the locations. Like, they literally went around the world. Like, around. It was, the locations were really, really cool. I thought that was really cool. And I liked how, so with the Russo brothers, we've obviously seen them do The Avengers, which is actually set in a fantasy world because it's not the real world that we live in. I mean, we don't have purple people walking around with Infinity Stones.
It almost reminds me of what they did in Age of Ultron. So, like, the shooting locations was not your standard New York, your standard It was somewhere like this, like European country, you know, in the middle of, like, I've never been there in my life, never seen that place before.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is
but
pretty
what
cool.
I loved about this is it was, so instead of a, which we've seen them do, they create fantasy worlds, not even, and I'm not even saying it has to be another planet. It's like New York with the, what was it, the Chitauri or whatever that those
things were called. Recorded Yeah in Our Town.
Yeah.
And they named it some other place.
You see?
And there was some shipyard like next to our city.
And we're like, you know, Johannesburg doesn't have a sea,
I
right?
I was like, so, oh, I know that. I've been there. Wait, hang on. Wait, wait, what?
Yeah. So they've done that. Whereas with this, it was set in the real world. It was, and I think that's what I loved about it is it was real. It was like, this could actually happen. Like, this probably happens. There's probably a squad like that in America that just go, they like take prison mates and like turn them into assassins and send them out to kill for the rest of their lives. Cause you know, that's what they're good at doing type of thing. Yeah. Like I loved that. And then the action in this movie, there were nine action packed sequences, nine whole, and they put their all into every single one of them. You know how with some films it's like action here and there, and then there's like one big.
Well,
this wasn't like that.
Whenever action like sequence came up, I just looked at my watch because I watched it twice.
Oh, yeah?
So I just looked at it. I'm like, are you ready for this? Because every single sequence, like the fight, it went full throttle.
No, they're really good. The Russo brothers are really good with action.
They're very good.
But what I like about the Russo brothers is you get action films, like most Bruce Willis films are like this, where the whole film is more, they focus more on making sure it's action than they do the storyline. So the storyline sometimes falls flat. Sometimes the storyline actually doesn't make sense. Sometimes the storyline doesn't even fit and you get to the end of the movie and you're like, what was the movie about again? But the action is like there. It's like, it's big. Whereas with the Russo brothers, and they actually said this in an interview I watched, they actually say they make sure that the action is there to only enhance the story and the characters.
Yeah.
So for them, it's not just about having an explosion or a bus toppling over or gunshots, or it's not about that. For them, it's about taking the action and making sure it only enhances the characters and then the storyline, which they really do well. And I appreciate that because you watch it and you're like, oh, it's action packed. It's like full of action, but you get to the end and you're like, that was a good story. And the characters, the cast were able to bring across their characters well because the focus is actually on the characters first rather than the action, which I just appreciate because otherwise it's just another action film.
Yeah, and people just shooting and kicking each other type of thing. Yeah,
okay.
I loved the scale at exactly like what you just said, the scale at which they went with all of the fighting sequences and what they did, how much they put into capturing the. I mean, if I had to say what was your favorite action sequence part, you'd be like, I loved them all.
No, that one.
And they were all great.
Yeah, no, they were all great.
For me, like the plane one, that whole sequence in the plane, like I've never seen that before in my life. What they did there, like I've seen some cool action sequence, but like my favorite was just the fact, like the sounds.
Yes,
I loved the sounds of the engine, like whenever an explosion happened, and like I mean, literally what they did in production with the plane, they did that whole thing again where they literally took this plane, they duplicated the actual plane, like I can't remember what model, you know, plane they used, but they duplicated the model. Obviously they got themselves in the soundstage and they put themselves on what was called a rocker, You know, one of those like where they can take the set and just like rotate and do whatever they want with it. And literally they were just rocking this thing back and forth. Now obviously it's combined with CG, but like to see the actual characters in there and like the car inside is like, well, that's rocking up and down. That thing's also throwing itself. Yeah. I don't know if you saw, there's even the one shot where Ryan Gosling got hit in the face. Like as he popped his head, I went,
yes.
And then like they carried on and I was just like, whoa. Like it's just, it's, like, I can go watch that all over again.
And also, it was nice, Ryan Gosling, so even though he's like this assassin and he really is the best in the world, he's still a human being. So you see how he's, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, his body takes hits and he, do you understand? Yeah. But then at the same time, he had a very dry sense of humor. Very. I loved when, I think it was, what was the guy's name? Not Carmichael, that was the bad guy. The guy that, that hired him, Fritz. Was his name Fritz? I think it was
probably
him.
Sounds
with the white hair, the guy with the white hair. He obviously calls him and says, "How are you doing?" And instead of Ryan Gosling's just fallen out of a plane, that's and fought like 10 million guys, not 10 million and guys, but he's like,
I'm
just
a bit shaken, but I'm okay.
No. He says his answer was what emotionally?
Yeah,
emotionally, I'm not doing okay, or I'm not too good, I'm a bit shaken up.
Yes, that's right.
And then
I'm emotionally a bit shaken.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like even his, and you could just see his body is like completely, like just battered and bruised.
Did you notice all the times that they used key phrases in their conversation?
Mm.
Like usually in a film they really highlighted, but it just slipped by so far. Like so, e.g., Chris Evans is, I really don't know the character names. Like
he was,
but
Lloyd.
Yes, Lloyd. Wow, Lloyd. I know someone who's called Lloyd, and he's also like quite a fighter. But anyway, where Lloyd had a conversation with Six, and no. Who was it? But anyway, oh yes, Captain America. Anyway, that guy. Yes, the Chris. Yeah, I've just jumped across. Lloyd. Yes, he has a conversation with one of the head guys within whoever's hiring him, and like they start the conversation, and then like maybe two sentences down, it's like, "Did you watch the game last night?" "Yeah, but I stopped halfway." "Yeah, well, that's like someone who'd like that." For me, I was like, "Wait, was that just a you know, one of those like, okay, you know, we're just approving that you are who you are." Like it happened throughout this film. Mm. And it's not like there's a highlight on it.
Yeah.
It just like goes right past. Like anybody who's watching this and like, wait, hang on. Stop. Wait,
what did they just say?
Wait, why did they just say, you know, like I appreciated that.
Yeah.
That like it made me enjoy the film so much more.
Also, do you know that Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans were both encouraged to improvise on their lines? And the first times the two characters actually meet face to face, it was completely improvised. I think Six says to him, "You must be Lloyd," and then Lloyd says, "How do you know?" And he answers with, "You hit like a Lloyd." That whole scene was completely improv.
Was that the whole comment from with the moustache?
Yes,
as
he he comments on his moustache.
Well, you look like or whatever. Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool because like their banter was cool as well, because normally it's like, there's so much hatred normally between like the protagonist and the antagonist. Like, "I will cut your mother into pieces and you will." Blah, blah, blah. Normally it's like that. Whereas this time they're like joking with one another, basically like, "Oh no, you hit like a Lloyd." Like, do you understand what I'm saying? It wasn't like this hatred. It wasn't like the normal movie, you know, like what you get.
There was a deeper, almost hitman type of like aggression towards each other and it's like words but it's almost like the other guy wouldn't take it with an offense.
No,
they would just they would almost take it as like it's a norm, you know.
Yeah.
"I'm gonna pull your toenails out." "Well, I'm gonna cut them off," you know.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
No, yeah. that was really cool.
And can I just give it the guy with the white hair, right?
yes
when they pulled his I must just say, I was applauding that guy, because at some point, like when he wants to pull my fingernail, I'm like, it's so and so.
That guy was just like,
even with the ears, I'm finished. Me, I'm finished.
And then Chris Evans still says, "That's not torture. That was just something I thought about." That guy was, And his dress code. Can we just talk about the production designer was brilliant. Mm. But the way they dressed Chris Evans' character with his loafers and his white check, black and white, like striped shirt. And then his mustache and like his clothing was all like quite tight fitting. But like that. No, it was just, he was weird. But do you know that Chris Evans on the first day of filming accidentally hit Ryan Gosling in the face with a prop gun?
Yeah.
Shame. That's when you're like, wait, was that really your mistake?
Is there blood? Is there blood? Okay, cool. Can we keep rolling? That's great.
And then at around 1 hour and 13 minutes of the film, Lloyd, who's Chris Evans, says $10 million to the first person who puts a bullet in that Ken doll's head.
Oh, yeah?
Obviously referring to Ryan Gosling. Now, Ryan Gosling had just finished production on the live action Barbie film, which is coming out in 2023. Yeah. Can you believe it? Where he actually plays Ken. So we're going from Ryan Gosling as the Gray Man, which is like one of the most action-packed films and the most like emotionless character of 2022. And then he will be the blonde. And have you seen his hair blonde? He's this blonde,
Did you see how they dressed him?
Where?
For Ken.
Yeah.
I'm like...
He looks like Barbie.
In fact,
the male version.
The one interview... with Ryan,
they ask him about it
for the Gray Man. You can see he's like, it almost looks like he's just come fresh off
of the set of, because they would have obviously filmed the Gray Man first. They filmed the Gray Man, I think, in 2020, and then now obviously it's been released, so they've just probably wrapped up production for, or they might still even be filming. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but I must be honest. At first, when I heard they were bringing out a live-action Barbie, I was like, hell no. Hell no. I am not watching that stupid film.
I refuse.
No, but the only reason I'm like, okay, I actually want to watch it is because Margot Robbie is Barbie. And I actually have a respect for her as an actress, especially after Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And then Ryan Gosling, I have a respect for him as an actor as well. So I'm like, you know what? Because of those two, and because of the director, I like Greta. So I'm going to watch it. But talking about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, did you recognize the little girl?
I didn't.
She was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. You know the little actress that speaks with Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah.
That's the girl.
Ah.
You didn't recognize her?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't thinking about it. I was just thinking, yeah.
You know, as in Fritz, I think it was his niece who had the heart
the
problem.
Yeah.
She was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
So that's her.
I recognized her immediately. Didn't you recognize her?
I didn't.
Okay, she is a lot older, obviously. I think she was 8 in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Mm. She's probably close to, what, 16 now? Somewhere there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So.
I'm shocked.
And then every character in this film wears a Tag Heuer watch.
Yeah,
because
that's right.
Ryan Gosling has a partnership with the luxury brand. I didn't pick that up, but apparently every single character in the film
wears
that watch.
They should have put more work into that if they paid any contribution towards the film.
And then Ana de Armas, she did a good job. And I enjoyed her because she was different to James Bond.
She was kicked around so much.
She was,
though. Many times she was thrown around. I'm like, ooh.
You know what I didn't? Okay, the one issue I had with this film. One issue, I just remembered it now, was the last fight with her and the Indian guy.
Yeah.
That fight was so dramatic for him just to give it to her.
No, that was cool.
No, but I was like...
I loved it.
He saw her coming. He wanted to give it to her. Why did he fight?
No, I liked that.
The fight scene was cool. Mm. But the fact that afterwards he just gave it to her, I was like...
You know what it was? This is what I got from it. It's the fight and flight at first. And I think, that point with the court. And then I think at some point, I think he just kicked. He's like, wait a minute.
What am I doing?
Yeah. These people are not honorable. And
he could have really thought of that before he like started beating her up. I'm just saying.
Fight and flight, man. When that kicks in, man, your logic leaves the building.
Okay. But she's previously collaborated with both leading men. So Chris Evans and Ryan Gosling. Obviously, Chris Evans was Knives Out. And then Ryan Gosling was Blade Runner 2049. I didn't know she was in Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah. I still haven't seen it, so I don't know. But now I know.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, now talking about the cast. The cast was perfect. But did you know that Brad Pitt was attached as the lead, with the director being James Gray, who was the director of Ad Astra, and they were set to direct the project since 2011, but dropped out. So this actually, this project has been in the works for a long time. Mm. Then eventually, Christopher McQuarrie was set to direct with Charlize Theron.
Yeah,
until the iteration fell apart. I'm so glad that happened.
Yeah.
I would not have wanted that. Mm. No, I don't. This did not need a female lead.
Were waiting for the Russo brothers.
The Russo brothers, they did picked justice.
It
up,
they put it under their arms and said,
they did justice. And Ryan Gosling was perfect as he was perfect as the lead. Mm. And I like Brad Pitt, I really do. But for me, Ryan Gosling, we haven't seen a film like this.
That's what made me enjoy it.
Yeah, it was different. It was fresh. It was. Mm. I would definitely watch if this became a franchise. Mm. I would. I'm so for that.
Yeah,
I'm definitely for the the franchise, the Grey Man.
And there's
franchise.
A lot of if you actually go search the Grey Man, and then there's the Wikipedia page. They actually list all the different books that are there.
Is it actually set on books?
Yeah.
No, definitely. We are all in. Yeah. And they did end it.
And it's different titles.
They ended it well, but they also ended it in a way that...
That's what I like.
You can go anywhere.
They ended it and I was like, where are they going? Where did they go? What happened? Who's chasing after them? I'm like, yes, I smell a sequence. I smell something coming up here. It's going to be good.
No, it is going
to
be good.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, this was a very good film. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I actually want to watch it again. I personally would watch this film again, even though I've watched it 1.5 times. I didn't finish the second time because I was watching it via my family. But, I would definitely watch this film again. Mm. It was very good. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
The cast, and I loved even the credits, the way they did. It almost looked like Monopoly. You know the Monopoly, the old Monopoly figurines?
The
silver. It reminded me of that. Obviously, it's called the Grey Man. So for them to go and almost make everything like that grey silver color was really cool.
Well, they said it was Marvel inspired. You know, the way they do the credits.
Credits,
they always
do
like the whole 3D thing.
Yeah.
You know,
okay, back to now our question. Was this film better than The Avengers?
No.
Why not?
The cliffhanger was just too great.
Then the first Avengers.
The first Avengers.
Avengers number one.
All the way back.
In my opinion, it's better than the first Avengers. In my opinion, it's better than the second Avengers. If we look at a film. With Infinity War and Endgame, there was too much had been built up to Infinity War and Endgame, and what it did in cinema was it was the whole hype around the film obviously was way greater than The Grey Man. But I honestly do think that they could build up to that with this.
You know what I like about this film is the genuineness in the character.
You see, it's
where Marvel is like that's the superhero
thing.
You know,
that's why I like The Grey Man more than Avengers, because it's Avengers is superhero, you know, not real, like you can't relate to all of the characters because the one dude's
can't
turning
fly,
green.
I like the way they fly
exactly, whereas this is like, this is real life. This is real people.
Like, this stuff can really happen.
This could really happen. You are really like, honestly, this film, I really enjoyed this film. And I know that there was so much, you know, the MCU, especially the first four phases, like the MCU, what they did with that was insane. And the way they then, like the Avengers Endgame, I mean, you had so many different storylines colliding with so many different great characters that everyone loved. And like when people ask you, what's your favorite Avenger? You're like, I don't know. They're all like, I have my top six type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't have a favorite. Some people do, but like for a lot of people, I don't have a favorite. There's so much riding on
it. For me, Thanos was...
Run like the villain.
Loved Thanos.
But I think from a realistic perspective, because sometimes with the MCU, you're just like, what? with the talking raccoon, you were like, what is happening? I remember when the first Guardians came out, I was just like, okay. And then eventually you're like, okay, no, it's Guardians of the Galaxy, you know? But this was, you can just accept it.
Chris Pratt, yeah, cool. Funny guy.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed, okay. I think I enjoyed, it, this one was, it was good.
Yeah.
It was definitely.
There was some crazy VFX done on this actual film. Yeah. So something that I had, maybe they had done it before. Something that's gone quite big that I've seen a lot of VFX artists using lately is 3D capturing, and especially if you've got an iPhone with the you basically got a radar on there.
Yeah.
But you know, with the face scanning, so it scans your face. But there's a thing called 3D scanning where you can now use your phone, you can scan an object in, and it puts it into 3D. Pretty cool.
Done.
And something that they specifically did with the plane sequence, you know, with the guys falling. I mean, how cool is that?
That was insane.
I love the fact that nothing was in focus. It was just crazy.
And which makes so much sense.
Exactly. It's so much, so that's why I was like, I'm loving this right now because it's so realistic. Yeah. I mean, it's not like the camera guy can get in focus. Hang on.
Wait.
So it was very blurry. But they literally filmed each act, including the stuntsman, under this like 360 degree ball.
That thing was insane.
It had something like, I think it was 160 cameras around them. And that's scanning their movement, and it's recreating their movement, including their facial expressions in 3D. Mm.
So in other words, when Ryan Gosling is falling, that's actually 3D. It's not real.
Yes.
It's, the only thing that they did was they captured Ryan Gosling's face. They did capture his face, though, and they put his actual performance on his face.
The whole part of him is 3D captured, modeled.
Yes.
And then so the expressions, the way that he's, that's really him, just captured, 3D captured, and put into a 3D sequence with all the.
And which is very cool.
And I think some of the plane, like a lot of some of the tilting and stuff like that also, that they were, I mean, that's just
so it's
crazy.
Not like the usual where what they'll do is they'll have the actor on like blue screen. Mm. They'll toss the actor around, you know, blow wind at the actor, do a whole lot
or
to the actor.
Or a stuntsman, not even
the actor. And then, you know, then they'll take the actor, they'll remove the background, they'll put another background, they'll add. They didn't do that. Mm. That's normally what they do. They didn't do that. Ryan Gosling, it's his performance, but it's a 3D model of him.
So they captured him in studio and then put it in the sky with the wind and the plane.
And what's cool is it wasn't motion capture. It wasn't a motion capture suit. That's what I'm saying.
Because they
can also do that. Yeah. It wasn't that. It was and literally then, this. It looked like a ball. And then the person was in.
Yeah.
And there were just LED lights and cameras everywhere. And then obviously the I think what they do with the lights is the LED lights is
The actual scene.
The actual like background, they play on the lights so that the lights
in
that. Yeah, the reflection on Ryan Gosling or whoever is accurate. And then they just, which was very cool.
That's cool. So that was...
No, this was a very good film. I enjoy it. This was like, you know, like matured wine. Like the longer it stands, the more you think about it, the better it gets. I feel like this... Because I watched it and I was like, it was good. I actually enjoyed it. I was looking forward to it because I saw it was coming out. And I was like, the cast looks good. Then I watched it. I was like, sure. I didn't know what to expect. I just went in blind. Like I didn't look at trailers or anything. I just watched.
The trailer sneaked past me.
Oh, serious?
Yeah.
No, I just.
I didn't watch the whole thing. Just a.
I went in blind and just watched it and thoroughly enjoyed it. Then I told my family it's good and then did research. And while doing research, I was like, no, this was a good film.
And I think
this was a good film.
I think there was like a handful of swear words.
Yeah. I'm sad that this film didn't make it to cinemas.
Right towards there. Well.
Because it obviously it's Netflix, so it was released on Netflix. It didn't make it to cinemas.
34 awards globally.
Really? Already? Wow.
That's pretty crazy.
No, they deserved it. Yeah. It was a good film. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. Prop guns. Can we just talk about prop guns?
Oh, yes.
Did you hear about
it? Yes, I did.
They put a trigger on the fake gun. So usually there's a flare. Mm. But because there's a night scene and they're shooting... They had a trigger on the gun, and that triggered external lights as well, so that you would get flashes on. I mean, that's just
so. Like at the end, when the girl,
who does that?
No, it's insane. When Chris Evans he shoots a flare, obviously flares are red, so he shoots it.
And you
by
can't
her.
Really shoot a flare.
Yeah. So what they did was that trigger would then trigger like a red LED panel, and then but it was like in sync. As soon as he shot, the red light
did that.
Flashed. So because obviously they need you would have light reflect on you, which was very cool. It was insane.
Some interesting
cool
stuff.
I loved how Ryan Gosling shot the one guy through the reflection in the mirror.
You see, stuff like that, you're like,
it's like, what?
It's a bit far-fetched, but it's possible.
No, it is possible.
And it's very cool.
It's very but cool, and it is possible.
That's how accurate he was. Yeah. That's the kind of guy he was, you know? On the train, he's
and
like...
And the part when he's being shot at while he's being cuffed to the chair, and Chris Evans is like, he's cuffed to a chair. Can somebody shoot the guy cuffed to the chair?
Can we stop shooting at stuff around us and shoot at the guy?
No, that was it. That whole sequence, I was just like, this is insane. Mm. It was very good. Very good film. Mm. If you haven't watched it, what is wrong with you? Shoot you yourself again. Yeah. With whatever you want, but do it and then go watch the film.
At that point, someone's baby brother's got like an elastic thing. Ow.
They said shoot you. Yeah, no.
So definitely, very good film. Definitely go see. By the way, Netflix, we were actually having a look at prices because we don't have Netflix because it's like a little bit just very expensive. But apparently,
just a little bit.
There's a mobile subscription. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're in another country, just work this out. In fact, if you go to Google, just say.
Yeah, in fact, they'll probably just give it to you in your country.
For $45.
Oh, really?
For the mobile, just mobile alone.
Yeah. Does that count as iPad or like tablet?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then what we were working out is, if I got an Apple TV, would I be able to mirror it? Anyway, there's a good idea for you. So try it out. I don't know if it works. Comment below if it works. So you can just mirror your phone onto your TV.
Yeah.
I don't know if it works. It might go, someone's probably commenting right now.
It doesn't work. I tried it.
Tried that,
but
buddy.
If you try and use that, thanks.
And Netflix, like, we got you now. Well, that's if
these
Netflix
things
watches.
Are smart, though. Hey? Yeah, they really are smart.
They do. They know exactly. Anyway, so there you go. $45, I think.
That's actually very
on your
good.
Mobile phone for Netflix subscription.
There we go. But this has been the movie show for free.
Yeah. There you go.
On any device.
I heard someone, I was watching a tutorial for Blender, and if you guys know, Blender's free. And there was a plugin that you do pay for, and the guy's like, this program has a trial for 1 month to try it out, and Blender that has a trial forever.
There we go, your movie show trial forever.
So there you go.
But until next week.
See you then.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.